Good morning. This is our study in the book of Revelation, and today we are studying lesson number 3, and this is chapter 2, and it's about Jesus' message to the Ephesian church. So we will start our study, as we always do, with prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, again we are just so thankful to be able to come to you and to give you praise and honor and glory, because only you are worthy, Lord. And we ask you, Father, to teach us your precious word. Give us wisdom and knowledge, that we may understand and that we will be conformed to be like Jesus. Father, guide and lead us through your Holy Spirit as we study together. And I ask it now all in the name of Jesus. Today we are in, as I said earlier, chapter 2. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 7 of chapter 2. But let's just do a little bit of review of what we have learned already in chapter 1. In chapter 1, we learned that Revelation was written to show Jesus' servants the things which soon must take place, and also that it's a book of prophecy promising a blessing to those who heed it and keep it and live it out. And of course, we learned in chapter 1, verse 19, there were 3 segments that John was told to write, and those were the things you have seen. That was in Revelation 1, visions of Jesus among the 7 churches. And the things which are, which we'll be studying in chapter 2 and 3, that's Jesus' message to the 7 churches. And then he was told to write the things which will take place after these things, which will be Revelation 4 through 22, which is the past, the present, and the future. So, as we're looking at Revelation chapter 2, we want to start in the first 3 verses of this chapter. Now, as we go through our lessons, we will now study each church, the 7 churches. And the first church that the letter was written to was to Ephesus, the church that was in Ephesus. So let's read those verses. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the 7 golden lampstands, says this, verse 2, I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. And you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. So, what are these verses? This is what Jesus told John to write to the church at Ephesus. Here we can see that the city was well known, and as it is one of the seven wonders of the ancient world there, the famous temple of Artemis, the goddess of fertility. And the first temple was destroyed by fire in 356 BC, and one was rebuilt in 250 BC, and it was a very magnificent temple. And this was the temple of Artemis, also known as Diana. So the things that we see then in Ephesus, it was an important city. It was located in Asia Minor. It was occupied by the Romans, and it was a premier harbor and also a city of worship of idols. Now, we're going to see some things that Jesus is saying to this church through the angel. He's sending the message given to John. And so, as we look at this, we learn in Scripture in Acts 18 and 19 that it was recorded the beginning of the church was about 45 or 50 years before John wrote the book of Revelation. And in the book of Acts, we also learn that Paul, Priscilla, and Aquila were the ones who initially took the gospel to Ephesus. And Paul wrote a letter to them about AD 60. John didn't write Revelation until about AD 95. And this was the city where he ministered before being exiled to Patmos. So, in Acts 19, we see that it tells us there had been a lot of evil spirits and magic in the city. And when the gospel came and people were saved, many burned their magic books. They repented from their old ways. So here in Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 1, we remember that Paul commended them for their love. That was in the book of Ephesians. And Timothy had also ministered at Ephesus. Now, we saw how the message to the church at Ephesus began. It was a description of Jesus here in this beginning. We see that he said to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden stands. So it's a description of Jesus. He is the one that holds the seven stars in his hands, and he is the one that walks among the seven golden lampstands. And of course, the stars are the angels of the seven churches. And angels literally means messengers. And so the one that walked among them, the seven golden lampstands, we also learned that these lampstands represent the seven churches. And a lampstand is for shining light into darkness, and so are churches. And Jesus was walking among the churches. And in chapter 1, we learned that he was in the middle. So he is in the midst of the churches, and he knows everything that goes on in them. And that's still true today. Now, his church is to be the light of the world. And he is the light of the world and gives the church the power to shine. Now, as we look at this, we see that how that Jesus commended the church at Ephesus. That was the first thing that he did, was to commend them. And he knew all about the Ephesian church. So he first tells them that he knows their deeds and their works, and he knows their toil. He knows their perseverance and their endurance. And he knows that they cannot tolerate or bear with evil men. They're sensitive to sin and to evil. And also tested those who calls them to be apostles. In other words, he said that you, the church, are on guard against false prophets, and that you found them to be false, not to be true to the gospel. And also, you endured for Jesus' name's sake, remained faithful. He knew that they had been faithful, and that they hadn't grown weary, and they hated the Nicolaitans' deeds and works. Now, these deeds of the Nicolaitans led people to immoral teachings and wickedness. That's what the Nicolaitans represented, false teachings and also wicked deeds. So it seems that the church of Ephesus there in Ephesia, that they had their service and their doctrine right, and they didn't tire in working for the Lord. And that's what Jesus is saying that he sees in them. But he also has a reproof to them. So Jesus said he had something against them, a reproof. And that reproof was, he said, they had left their first love. They had abandoned the love that they had at the beginning when they established the church, when they had come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So at a previous point in time, this church had forsaken what they loved first. They were continually doing things for the Lord and in His name, but without love. And these kind of churches or individuals can seem hard and cold in their devotion to the Lord and what they do in His name. They're going through a motion, kind of a mechanical way of serving Him, an orthodoxy. They just more or less are going through the motion of doing their serving the Lord. Now, let's go on and look at Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, because he has commended them, and then he has given them reproof, letting them know that he had something against them. Reading in verse 4, "But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Yet this you do not have, that you hate the deed of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So, he is saying to them that even though I have commended you for the good deeds that you have done, I have something against you, and that is because you have left your first love. So, he is saying, remember from where you have fallen. Now, when he talks to them about their deeds, he said, repent and do the deeds that you did at first. So, what was the deeds that they did at first? How is it that you know that you have lost that first love? The deeds that they did at first, they had a hunger to read and study God's word and delighted in knowing the truth and to see his promises. They also had a desire to be with other Christians and to hear God's word taught and to have fellowship with others and that love him and are eager to serve him. And they were aware of God's presence, and they had a desire to talk to him, to know his will, and to do what pleased him. They prayed a lot. And then they had a desire to share whom and what they had found in the Word with others so that they too could know and experience that same truth and love. And also they had a desire to share material things with others. And they had an eagerness to serve God in some way, seeking his direction, his purpose for their lives. So this is the deeds that he is saying that you need to repent and do these deeds that you did at first, because that was when you had that first love. That pertains to the first love that they had for him. And we want to look at some of the scriptures in the Old and New Testament that talk to us about what God said to the people and about what Jesus said. Going back to the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 29, verses 25 through 27. See, God had chose Israel to be his chosen people, and he had told them how he was going to bless them and bring them into a promised land that was flowing with milk and honey. So here in the book of Deuteronomy, he tells them that if they continue in their love and their devotion for him, that they will bless him. But he also tells them what will happen if they don't continue in that. Reading verse 25 through 27 of Deuteronomy chapter 29. Then men will say, because they forsook the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which he had made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went and served other gods and worshiped them, gods whom they have not known and whom he had not allotted to them. Therefore the anger of the Lord burned against that land to bring upon it every curse which is written in this book. So you see, even back in the Old Testament, after God had brought them out of Egypt, and the God of their fathers, and brought them into this promised land, they left that love and they started worshiping other gods. So the anger of the Lord came upon them. And you know, as we read and studied in the Old Testament, that they went through a lot of persecution. They lost that first love, and they had to pay the consequences. Now let's look at chapter 30, verse 1 through 3. So it shall be, when all these things have come upon you, the blessings and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind in all nations where the Lord your God has banished you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and soul, according to all that I command you today, you and your sons, then the Lord your God will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you, and will gather you again from all peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. So here you see God's promise that the blessings and the curses that have been upon them, if they will return, if they will repent to the Lord and obey him with all their heart and soul, then the Lord will restore and bless them and gather them again, because at this time we know that they were scattered. And he is saying, but if you will repent, if you will come back to me, then I will restore you. And then in verses 19 and 20, he says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessings and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. So we know the story, how that God blessed them. And we study the book of Deuteronomy, we go into the book of Joshua, and you see that God fulfilled his promise to bless them with that promised land. And this is what he's saying now to the churches. This is what he's saying to this particular church at Ephesus. He's saying, that first love that you had for me, you need to return to that, and then I will bless you and just pour out all the blessings upon you. Now let's look in the New Testament and see what Jesus has to say. In Mark 12:28-32, one of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he, Jesus had answered them well and asked him, they asked Jesus, what commandment is the foremost of all? And Jesus answered, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So here Jesus himself gives the two greatest commandments that applies to the church at Ephesus and applies to us, the church today. These commandments, if we keep these, if we love the Lord with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves, then he is going to pour out his blessings upon us in such a way that we cannot comprehend the greatness and the goodness of his love. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2. This, we know that Paul wrote to the Corinthians when he went there to preach the word to them. And here he says, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. So this is what Paul was saying to the church at Corinth, that you can have a gift of prophecy, know all the mysteries, and you can have all kind of knowledge and all kind of faith. Faith that's enough to even move mountains. But if you do not have love, then you have nothing. And so that's what Jesus is saying to the church at Ephesus. That love, that first love that they had for him, they need to go back and look at that and think about it and act upon it. Now, also in the book of Acts, Acts 2, verse 46 and 47, this is still the writing of Paul. And it's in verse 46 and 7, he says, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So here he is saying, here this at this time in the church, that the people were in one mind. They were sharing, breaking bread, and they were doing that with their neighbors, with one another, and taking their meals together in gladness and sincerity of heart, and they give all the praise to God. And then he said the Lord was adding their number day by day, those who were being saved. So because of their love for one another, because of their love for God, God was blessing them with adding more people to the church, of saving them because of the love that was in the church. And now in Acts 4, verse 32, he says, "And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them." Excuse me. Well, they were sharing with one another. So they didn't claim anything for their own. They were willing to share with one another. And then in verse 42, he says, "And every day in the temple, from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." So here we see how that God brings blessings and joy upon those that have love for Him and for one another. And looking at John chapter 15, verse 10, he says, "If you keep my commandments," now Jesus is saying this, "if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So Jesus is saying that as long as you love one another, as you love God the Father, as you abide in this love, then you will also abide in me and in the love of the Father. Now in James 4, in the fourth verse, we see that James says, "You adulteries, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." So here we see that James is saying that you cannot be a friend of the world because the world is hostile toward God. So if you wish to be a friend to the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. So in all of these verses, we see that Jesus is saying to Ephesus, the church there, that I know that you have so many good things that you're doing right, but you're going through emotion because you don't have true love in your heart. You know, you can go through emotion of doing things, but you don't have your heart in it. And that's what he's saying. It's what you're doing is good, but you don't have your heart in it. So you need to go back to when you first had that first love, when you first believed upon me and saw me as your Lord and Savior. You saw me on the cross. You saw me dying for your sins. And you repented of them and you fell in love with me. In other words, Jesus is saying, you need to fall in love with me again. They've kind of fallen out of love with Jesus. And that's what happens in all of us as God's children. Sometimes we get caught up in the world and we fall away from the love of God. So he is saying, you need to fall in love with me again. Now, he also gives some warnings to them. So we want to look at those warnings because that's another thing that every church has to be warned about things and has to have instructions. And he begins that by saying, remember where you have fallen. In other words, go back to that time that you can remember where you fell out of love with me. Remember where you've fallen from and keep on remembering it. It's a command. And then he goes on to say, repent, which is another command. At that very moment, he's saying, repent, to change your feelings, failing to love God with all of your heart, soul, and your mind is a sin. So he is saying, repent of that. And then he goes on to say, do the deeds or do the works that you did at first. And what were those? That was loving the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. So he's saying to them that you need to go back to all of that. You need to go back to the first. You need to remember where you fell, what you've fallen from, and repent of it, and do the deeds or the works that you did at first. And then he tells the Ephesian church, if they do this, if they repent, if they go back to their first love, if you become overcomers or conquerors, see, that's what it is whenever you repent. You become an overcomer. You overcome these things that are pulling you away from doing His will and from letting Him be first in your life. He gives them a promise. And that promise is that they will be able. He is addressing the overcomers, the conquerors. They would be the ones who have an ear to hear and to obey what Jesus said. And then this is a promise. He says Jesus will grant him, an overcomer, to eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God. So, we know that means life or death, doesn't it? Who are the overcomers? First of all, they're the ones that remember. They're the ones that repent. And they're the ones that do the first deeds of loving God with all their heart, soul, and mind and strength. And they become overcomers. And they're the ones that will be in paradise with God and eat of the tree of life. So, in that case, then leaving the first love is a matter of life and death. Okay? And we're going to study more in later. In fact, in lesson 10, we're going to have a complete study on the overcomers. So, Jesus, who walks among the churches, knows who loves and what deeds or works are done. And he gave the warnings and the instructions to overcome or conquer by hearing what he said and acting accordingly. So, how does this apply today? How does this apply to the church today? Do you think that this is true in our churches today? Some of these very things that Jesus has been giving to John to write down, to send to Ephesus, do you think that we too should receive a letter? Do you think this letter was to us today? I'm sure that if we all examine ourselves and our lives, that we will see that there are many things that we too need to repent and come back to our first love. And I know that all of this is not true in every church, but I think that every church, if they examine themselves, they will find that they too have a need to repent. I do. I need to repent. I want to go back to my first love, the love that I had when Jesus, when I believed upon His name, and He came into my heart and filled me with the Holy Spirit. I know that at that time, I had such a love. And as we drift away and get caught up in the world and the things of the world, it's so easy to leave that first love and get caught up in the love of the world. So we want to be overcomers. We want to be able to stand before Him. And He can say to us, "Well done, my faithful child." So as we continue then, let us close in prayer. And then next week, our study will be on the next church, which is Smyrna. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, how we all need to go back to that first love. We all need to repent. We need to remember, Father, that we might draw near to You, that You will give us the promise, Father, that You promised Ephesus, if they overcome, if they repented, Father, we would have life everlasting in the tree, in heaven, in paradise with You. And we know, Father, that when Jesus died for our sins, and we believed upon His name, and You sent the Holy Spirit, that we do have life everlasting. It doesn't mean that we can lose our salvation, because, Father, You have sealed us with Your Holy Spirit. But, Father, I think we can lose many, many blessings if we don't repent. And I pray, Father, that starting with me, that You will forgive me and that I will repent and come before You and go back to that first love. Thank You, Father, for Your word, for this lesson. I give You all the honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.